Let us pray. Father, O Lord, again we come before your presence to worship you, Lord, to adore you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the form of man, setting his own glory aside and taking up the form of humanity, identifying with us, that he might be a perfect sacrifice to unify us unto you. We appreciate you, Lord, for this precious gift. Lord God, even as we continue in remembering this wonderful gift to mankind, we pray, O Lord God, that you help us not to take this gift with levity, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to closely cherish this gift, to gloriously allow your Spirit to mold, build, and shape us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we behold him. Lord God, I just commit myself into your hands this morning. Lord, I pray that you speak through me unto your people. Open our eyes of spiritual understanding, that we may digest the word that comes forth, and that we may allow it, O Lord, to groom us and nurture us. Thank you, King of Glory, for in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen. And this morning, I'm going to be talking on the title, Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. So you can please turn your Bible to that. And I'll be reading from verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen. Apostle Paul addressed the book of Galatians to a congregation composed mainly of Gentiles, non-Jew converts, who have been influenced by Judaism to follow Mosaic law, like circumcision, for salvation, which prompted Paul's passionate defense of faith in Christ alone. In chapter 5, the apostle addressed the importance of enjoying the liberty in Christ, not under the yoke of the law, and simultaneously while doing that, he wanted the congregation or the believers to be shielded from the wants of flesh by walking in the Spirit. We thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ giving us the grace of being redeemed by his blood, we who were once alienated from the kingdom of God, and allowing the good news to reach out unto us, the Gentiles, redeeming us with his own precious blood, born of water and the Spirit. Now, having been birthed in the Lord, It was more than just, we needed more than just being now born again or being a Christian or a believer. There's that need of living that life forth for all to see, even as we sojourn through our time here on earth. In Galatians 5:16, Apostle Paul emphasized the need for believers to proceed in this journey here on earth as we march onward towards the kingdom of God, walking in the Spirit, thereby allowing God to protect us from the constant yearning of this flesh to compromise and do things that does not edify the Lord. He did make it clear that the spirit and the flesh are constantly at war. So in this passage, we can infer that for us as Christians, as we sojourn, as we navigate our way through this earth, looking forward to our homeward calling unto the Lord, where we'll be unified with the author and finisher of our faith, that this can be done. There's a likelihood of doing our travel through the world in two ways. One, walking in flesh, which is self-centered and self-serving. And two, walking in the Spirit by consciously subjecting ourselves to the leading of the Lord. The natural course of walking in the flesh is innate in us. As individuals, we passionately desire for things to satisfy us. And many a times, that's at the expense of others. We struggle to find food for ourselves, shelter, securing a future for ourselves in terms of our careers, seeking for love amongst others, seeking for self-esteem, self-confidence. And many a times in doing this, it's all about me, 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 me. It's all self-centered. We desire to acquire wealth. We get cars. We build houses. Not that these are not nice in themselves, but as a natural human, these are the things that define us when we're dealing with others. These are the things that makes us feel fulfilled as natural humans. But these things also comes with the way of luring us away from the Lord. Many a times, as businessmen, when we have the opportunities of playing smart, we see it as opportunities and we take good advantage of it. That's called smartness. Even if that smartness will mean hurting others, for us, the end goal is what we gained at the end of it. Many a times, while seeking for love, while seeking to have a family, how often before the Lord called us unto his own kingdom, how often did we do things that were not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And I can talk as going back memory lane as a young man, how the young guys will, you know, rally together and talk proudly about how they did this, they did that, how they were able to woo that lady, and now haven't satisfied their desire, it's no good, move to the next chapter, and things like that. That is the natural flesh. And it is innate within us. We often lie to protect ourselves. We covet many a times. We see someone who is doing better in their own ways. And instead of being content and satisfied with where we are, we're thinking in our mind, oh, well, he's not as educated as me. Oh, well, he's not as eloquent as me. He's not as this or that. How come he's having that and I'm not having it? That is the natural human being. Now, having this in mind, Apostle Paul wants us to go beyond that. And in knowing very well that as human, we're liable to all of this, he wanted us to see another way of walking through life. A way that will make us to be at peace. A way that will give us joy. A way that will give us true satisfaction. And that is the Christ reformed way of consciously walking in the Spirit. Having been crucified with Christ, we need to constantly channel our energy towards aligning with the Spirit of the Lord. Because by our own power, we cannot subdue flesh. By our own power, we cannot keep flesh under control. And hence, he encouraged us to walk in the Spirit, to consciously be aware of the sonship that we carry, the inheritance we carry upon ourselves as children of the kingdom, to constantly remind ourselves that this world is not our home, focusing our eyes on the heavenly things. For where the heart of a man is, where the treasure of a man is, there is his heart. And he just wanted us to know that we cannot do this by our own selves. We need the Spirit of the Most High God. We need constant energy from him to keep us going. Walking in the Spirit is based on love, being built up through constant surrenderance to the Lord. Driven by getting to understand God's purpose for us beyond this world. Driven by a desire beyond the sensual nature of human beings. Love-centered, focused on the law that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And we should love the Lord our Lord with all our hearts, and all of our heart, mind, and all of our strength. And in doing this, we'll find out that naturally, with the energy that the Spirit of the Lord infuses in us, the flesh becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Focusing on Jesus Christ and the things of God makes us to be more and more like Him. I think the Lord gave us examples through the Old Testament. We saw the aspect of the sheep, Jacob's sheep that had blemish on them. And he set before them something without blemish. And as they look more and more, their genetics, their gene, their DNA got realigned to what was pure. There's a need for the re-engineering of our DNA that is so focused on the flesh, for the re-engineering of our DNA that gets drifted away by the lust of things of this earth. And we cannot do it by ourselves. We can only do it by walking in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? As we said, we're not able to do it by ourselves, but we're able to do it, one, by studying the Word of God. David said, "Thy word have I kept in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Also, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our path and a light to our feet. So by totally being given to the word of the Lord, what we allow ourselves, what we allow the word to do is that it shields us from going into dark paths. It shields us from going into pitfalls that had been dug out there by the accuser of the brethren. With the word of the Lord in our heart, well cherished, we're able to see ahead. I mean, like if we were to turn off the light in this room, I'm sure that if I were to ask someone to walk from here to the door, despite having an idea of the layout, we'll be amazed by how much we stumble, walk into things that may make us fall. But the word of the Lord is a light, makes us to see where to go and how to go about it. So as believers, we should constantly give time to studying the word of the Lord. Some people call it quiet time, others call it different names. But it is very important that daily we allow the word of the Lord to prune us, to shape us, because His word is truth. Number two, we can walk in the Spirit by being conscious of God's presence in our lives. Having been crucified with Christ, we should constantly remind ourselves that it is no longer ourselves that live, but the life we live, it is Christ who lives in us. And knowing fully that we are actually ambassadors of the Lord here on earth and consciously walking in that regard. I've had the opportunity of looking at some documentaries on the royals. And It's amazing how they start getting, how they prime them right from being young children. This is how you walk. This is how you talk. This is how you do this. Creating that consciousness within them that though they are men or women, they are not mere men or women. They carry something great within that they need to remind themselves constantly about. Even though they may interact, they may go to similar universities or, well, like other people in the community, their conduct, their speech, their actions is being channeled by that conscious awareness that I am a royal person. I'm not just an ordinary person. We claim to be Christians. We profess it. But how often in our day-to-day interaction in the community, how often do we carry that awareness consciously within us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who have been called forth unto the marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ? People set aside to show the world the reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's as we consciously remind ourselves of this, we'll find that the Lord empowers us more and more spiritually and weaken the desire of the flesh within us. Number three. It is important for us to, again, daily remind ourselves that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And have our minds set on heavenly things. Constantly transforming our minds to things above by offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We should not conform to the patterns of the world, knowing fully well that we have a destination. And as we do so, we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. Number four, desiring the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus encourages us to ask, and it shall be given unto us. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So as believers, in our aspiration to walk in the Spirit, we should constantly ask the Lord for empowerment to do it, for the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And as we do this, one thing comes up. Apart from the Lord empowering us to be stronger and stronger spiritually and weaker in the as it comes to the lust of the flesh, Interestingly, the Lord puts a banner around us as well. I've heard of some people who, you know, based on their profession of the Lord and their stance in things of the Lord, like accidentally strayed into where they shouldn't be. And even the mere way people looked at them in itself served as a reminder to them that, I shouldn't be here. I've had people say, in my presence and in the presence of some others before that, cautioning themselves when it came to biting or trying to skim unhealthy things, that, don't do that or don't say that. So he's here. And though we are not actively trying to be a part of them, by distinguishing ourselves, the Lord had shielded us from any undue acts of the flesh that might have compromised our stance. Number 5, stay connected to fellow believers. Because through connections like this, we edify one another. We correct each other in love. We seek the spiritual growth of one another. During the membership sessions here, we hear one of the phrases of committing to be there for the new member. Nurturing, guiding, building that person in the Lord and correcting in love. And beyond that, still in the membership, we hear when it's been read out, the pastor say that same, we expect same of that person. Staying connected to fellow believers help us in our quest to walk in the Spirit. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The Bible says that to whom we subject ourselves, to that person, we are servants. That person becomes master over us. And if we subject ourselves to the flesh, though we are believers, gradually, because they are contrary to each other, gradually we find out that the flesh takes the better part. And though within us, we may know the right thing to do, within us, we may yearn for the right thing to do, but because we haven't taken time prayerfully and diligently to ensure that we walk in the Spirit, we realize that what might happen is that although we know the right thing to do, we're not able to do it because the flesh has taken the greater power. Also, if we yield ourselves to the Spirit, trusting the Lord daily, crying out to Him that, oh Lord, help my weakness, Oh Lord, help my shortfalls as a human being and strengthen me by your spirit. Empower me to walk in you as we seek his face and cry out to him more and more, looking unto him. It is not by power lest we should boast. Rather, it's by his grace, looking unto him. By faith, we'll see that these things we start materializing. We start growing stronger and stronger. And even when our flesh is pulling us towards doing something, when I behold that wonderful, beautiful lady walk in front of me, and my heart or my mind goes, oh wow, what a beauty. The Spirit of the Lord will checkmate me so that what my flesh wants to do, it doesn't end up doing it. Or I find myself as a young person who had done something that I know that I'm not even proud of, and I get called out on it by my parents. Because I desire to walk in the Spirit, and I'm trusting the Lord for it by faith, even when within me, my flesh is saying, you know what? Just lie a little bit and you'll be out of it. I find out that the Lord will summon that boldness within me to say, I'm sorry. I erred here. It is difficult, but it's honorable. And we find out that that confers more and more honor unto us in the presence of those we are dealing with. Verse 18. But if we be led of the Spirit, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And as I was preparing for this, while reading and the rest, one of the commentators had mentioned that while we're trying to walk in the Spirit and do things and have the flesh subjected to control, that we should, it's important we channel our energy the right way. And in the book of Galatians, the Jews were trying to subject the Gentiles to, oh, you must be circumcised. You must not do this. You must not eat that. You must not do that. And interestingly, we know that with the law, although the law is a teacher to guide us, the more we try to follow the law, the less we're able to actually meet. I'm talking of the law of the Lord. The less we're actually able to meet that standard. Because our righteousness are all but filthy rags before God. So instead of trying to say, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, do that, putting our energy in relationship with God, putting our energy in walking with the Lord, liberates us from all those challenges of the flesh, which the law in itself tries to keep us from falling into. And it's done in such a way that it's done with liberty. It's done without any huge stress or burden being carried on our shoulders. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, we yield unto Him. The Lord speaks unto us as children in His own gentle way. And if we're truly His children, then we create a consciousness of following what He says to us. For we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption as son, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, crying unto Him to help our weaknesses, crying unto Him to stabilize our walk through this terrible terrain here on earth, crying unto Him to strengthen us not to yield to the desires of flesh, crying unto Him to help us forgive others where they have hurt us badly, letting go. Contrary to what the flesh wants to do, that I'm going to get, it's going to be a pound of flesh for a pound of flesh, but letting go. Crying unto Him to help us when it comes to envying others or being jealous of others. We know the other areas individually where we struggle. Crying unto the Lord to help us through His Spirit to overcome such. And as we do that, there will be a time where the Spirit of the Lord, because we carry, haven't been called children, we carry within Him, within us an identity with Him. And we'll build ourselves to a place where the Spirit of the Lord will constantly bear witness to us, within us, that we are overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. Thus, Apostle Paul, in looking at the aspect of flesh and the Spirit, and the Christian sojourn through this, encourages us that there's only one way for us to overcome as Christians. There's only one way for us to overcome the flesh. There's just one way, to be more and more like our Heavenly Father. The only way to overcome the corrupt desires and propensity of our nature is by submitting to the influence of the Holy Spirit. It is not by philosophy, 500 ways of how to overcome the flesh. It is not by mere resolution to resist them. I'm going into the year 2026. My New Year resolutions are A, B, C. It is not by the force of education and laws. It is only by admitting into our souls the influence of the power of God and yielding ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we live under the influence of the Spirit, we will not fear the power of sensual and corrupt propensity of our nature. And if we truly live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, let us also walk in spirit. Let us exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, forbearance of one another, goodness, faith, supporting each other when it seems we are stumbling. Against such, there is no law. And as we constantly trust the Lord to help us in this manner, as we constantly hold on to Him, we see His power flow through from on high, giving us victory over the power of flesh. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We again give you praise because of your investment in us. Thank you, Lord, because of how you want us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. In act, in speech, in conduct. We know, Lord, by ourselves we're not able to do this. We know, Lord God, that by trying to follow the law, we wouldn't match up. Hence, Lord God, we come to you crying for mercy. We come to you this day, Lord, that you help our weaknesses individually, O Lord. You know where we struggle with that innate desire of the flesh. O Lord God, this morning, as we've heard from the scripture, that we should walk in the Spirit. And in doing so, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning, that you pour upon us, O Lord, an increased hunger for the things of the Spirit. An increase, O Lord God, hunger to be like you. An increase level of humility that yields ourselves as vessels in your hands, eagerly releasing ourselves for remodeling, shaping, and fashioning into vessels of honor in your sight. Lord God, we just pray, Lord, that as we walk in you, consciously walking in you, that the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ will be over us, O Lord God, eroding all our weaknesses and unrighteousness to the glory of the Father. Let us, O Lord God, as we move into the year 2026, let us truly be like light set on the hill for all to see, influencing people around us, encouraging them, creating a desire within them to be like the Christ they see being reflected through us. Thank you, Lord God. We just appreciate you again for your loving kindness and for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen.